time to bring in the director of athletics at the University of Georgia, Greg McGarrity, who joins us again. Greg, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. How have you been?
Just fine, guys. Hope y'all are well.
We are. We are doing fine, and sounds like things are starting to at least look a little bit brighter. Hopefully, we'll continue on in that route. I guess, and this was, I guess, even before I had texted you and asked if you could come on, Georgia President Jerry Moorhead is mentioning that they still want to kind of get things going here in the fall. I know a lot of people want to be optimistic about things, but what is the latest update you can give us on what we might be looking forward to in the next few months?
Well, we know there's always light at the end of the tunnel, but
yes.
I think we're beginning to see that now. And just to echo what President Moorhead said, you know, we are making every effort to be ready to be on campus this fall. So that stimulates a lot of conversation in the athletic director's room in the SEC about, well, what does that mean about the student athletes coming back to prepare for the season. So that's going to dominate the discussion. We have another call today, but that'll certainly move the ball forward as more institutions are moving in that direction because more information is gathered on where we are with the virus.
Well, how often are you still talking to your cohorts and ADs around the conference and I guess maybe even around the nation?
Well, it's at least three times a week. We'll call it 11:30 and have a 60 or 90 minute discussion on a number of topics. You know, the name, image, and likeness and the transfer legislation and so many things are out there that still have to move forward with decisions by the NCAA and conferences. So there are a lot of things that we do talk about, but one of those obviously is what does the fall season look like and can we proceed as we all want to, obviously with the health and safety of everyone in mind as we move down this road.
Talking with Georgia's Director of Athletics, Greg McGarrity.
Greg, it's come up with a lot of guests that we've had speculating what fall could look like, and I know there's no decisions made right now at all, but there is always that sort of conversation about, you know, maybe no fans in the stands, and for what it means financially, just for so many programs out there, just point blank, does football make sense at all without fans in Sanford Stadium or anywhere else around the nation?
You know, I think you have to take all those things under consideration. It'll really be interesting to see what the NFL does because mm-hmm. so much of what college athletics does mirrors the professional model. So I know the NFL will be making some decisions here shortly. So we'll be able to see some of that. But we've gone through limited seating options before mm-hmm. in basketball, obviously with a tornado in Atlanta, and we were fixing to move forward with limited seating for the SEC basketball championship. So, you know, I think everybody's just starving and craving for live content. And so I know these young men certainly want to play in volleyball, soccer, cross-country, they all want to compete. I know football drives the engine, but, you know, we're just focused on getting back on the field, and what that looks like in the stands will certainly be a part of that.
Does football have to be figured out before you can start thinking about the other sports? Because, as you said, the football drives the engine.
Well, I think it dominates the conversation now because of the economic impact, but, you know, volleyball and soccer are much less intense as far as the number of individuals, you know, the number of people that are attending those events. And for us, neither are revenue generating sports because they're free to attend. So I think a lot of focus on football because obviously for so many programs, it's the gas that drives the engine for all the other 20 sports.
And you'd be good if the season had to start later, or if there were no maybe non-conference games, maybe a shorter schedule, what obviously in a perfect world we'd start on time and play every game, but what you know, what's being thrown out there that you could still live with or potentially just see that it could happen? That's kind of a loaded question, sorry about that, but
no.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that everyone asks me, so I'm asking you.
Sure. I would just say that everything's on the table when the season starts. You know, and we're sure hoping it starts on Labor Day weekend on that Monday night in Atlanta. But, you know, if it has to shift, it has to shift. So that may create scheduling opportunities. But I think the interesting thing is, and the frustrating thing and the disappointing thing is, we just don't know a lot right now. We are making all these plans to move forward, and the data is looking better and better each day as we go on. But still, that's going to dominate the discussion and the decisions is health and safety of all of those that would be engaged in college athletics, college sports, and those that are attending, those that are playing, and everyone that helps facilitate those sports.
Talking with Georgia's Director of Athletics, Greg McGarrity.
Greg, a lot of headlines made this week by the NCAA. Dave kind of referenced it already with the name and likeness issue now coming to the forefront and big changes coming sooner rather than later. I know you guys at the University of Georgia and other schools have done a good job, and it's public knowledge that you guys are preparing for things like this down the road for these changes, at least financially. But Dave and I have spent a lot of time this week sort of speculating what would this NCAA look like with all these rule changes. And I know this is something you've talked about for a long time, but what are your just initial thoughts when you see those headlines that this is the near future, not distant future anymore?
Well, I think the main topic is the name, image, and likeness, mm-hmm. The decision that was made to really vote on legislation in January of 21, and it would be effective about this time next year, next summer. But there are a lot of guardrails that really need to be in place because you have to have someone responsible for monitoring this. You've got the role of advisors, agents. You are hopeful that this is consistent language through all 50 states and not in various states. Florida has legislation proposed, California. I mean, if we went state by state, this would really be a mess. But we've got to be able to make sure that these student-athletes get the right advice. And right now, with potential the role of advisors, agents, what have you, being able to monitor the endorsements, mm-hmm. You know, it's limited in what they might be able to endorse. And it's certainly just a small population of our 550 student-athletes. So there's a lot involved in this, but we do know our world's going to be different. And students are going to be able to benefit from this this new legislation in some form or fashion in about a year.
You may not know the answer to this specifically, but one of the stipulations on the announcement was that schools cannot aid in the payment to certain student-athletes, but does that include, say, the bookstore? Could if an athlete is pushing a product, we've used the example of Rodrigo Blankenship with his stardom while he was in school. Hypothetically, if he had a product like some goggles or something, would he be allowed to sell those at the bookstore, or does that fall into that category of the schools not being able to aid in the payment?
No, I think something like that. This is just my interpretation,
right,
and it's not based on anything, but certainly that would take in place, but we as an institution could not be part of that. In other words, he would have to have an agreement, as I understand things, with his advisor or a third-party group that would take care of all that. And so we could not be a party to that, as I understand things. We can just make sure that proper mechanisms are in place to protect them, but in essence, they're essentially on their own with advisors and things of that nature, mm-hmm. as I understand things now.
So, like, so potentially, I'm trying to think of a current student athlete, not one like Logan mentioned Rodrigo. I mean, though he's gone now, but like, say, like a Zamir White, you could potentially see his face on a Bulldog Kia billboard one day down the road if that were the kind of things that were approved. And I don't mean to use him specifically, but like a current student athlete, I mean, that's the kind of thing we might expect to be able to see down the road, something like that, if the company wanted to do that?
Well, I think part of this is going to be important from a booster or a donor standpoint. If they own a certain company and they're season ticket holders, you know, you could see where that would certainly enter the eligibility area as far as favoritism or things like, you know, you can get in that trap pretty quickly as far as if a certain donor owns a certain company and they want them to serve as their spokesperson, that's where it gets tricky. And I think that's where recruiting advantages or disadvantages are going to occur. So there's got to be some limitations there that are very, very clear to prevent that type of situation from occurring. So they've just got to have mechanism in place that will deter boosters from directly or really indirectly paying student athletes as ways to maybe influence the recruiting process.
Talking with Georgia's Director of Athletics, Greg McGarity, and we really do appreciate you taking a few minutes here. The NCAA Board of Governors is also saying they may be delaying this transfer waiver process, but what do you think may ultimately happen with that? Are we still going to be at a situation where there may be free transfer, even though the Board of Governors is recommending delaying that?
I think eventually you'll probably see that as well, probably in I know that's going to be voted on, hopefully, through the normal legislative process. There's a May 20th meeting, which will basically make a decision on how to handle this, but it looks like things will be different in the fall of 21. So I think it's coming down the road. It's like everything else. If you make a decision of that nature, there are unintended consequences mm-hmm. That resolve from there. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of discussion among the group on what could happen. And right now, there's so much uncertainty. You're seeing tremendous difficulty by so many institutions that are having trouble making ends meet next year, including football, having football revenue. So right now, in the world of transfers, it's just not the time to deal with this. It will be dealt with in time, as we're saying, but I sure hope it gets pushed back a little bit so that we can make sure that we don't create any situations that create unfortunate situations for the institutions or the student athletes.
That's the thing you mentioned. It's just that it's a crazy time to have some of these things on the potentially on the table. I mean, I know life is still going on in a lot of aspects, but you know, with even like we've seen in the spring sports, where I guess student athletes, even seniors, could potentially come back if that's what they want to do. But I know for you and athletic directors and your departments, I mean, that's creating some financial challenges. Is that a good way of putting it?
Sure is. And I think one thing that is really important too is you see so many institutions that are funded by the state. We see that across the board, where some, you know, the only revenue we really generate outside of our own is the student athletic fee, which for us is about $3.5 million every year. But a lot of institutions receive tremendous resources from the state or from the university to make their operation whole. A lot of schools depend on student athletic fees to make their department run. That's where you're seeing the concern, is because state revenues are going to dwindle. I mean, it's just going to happen. And institutions, athletic departments that depend on that state funding are the ones that are really, really going to have a difficult time, as opposed to those that generate revenue on our own. But I do think it's a situation here to where we will go through a budget process here with our finance committee here in the middle of May, and our board meeting's on June the 4th. So we'll certainly have a lot of information on what fiscal year 21 looks like. But I think we should be in good shape through the end of this fiscal year, which runs through June 30th.
Well, we have seen across the country certain schools having coaches take pay cuts, or having people take pay cuts in their athletic department, maybe some furloughs. Is the University of Georgia Athletic Association at that point, or getting close to that point, just because of the pandemic?
No, not right now, David. I think that right now that our focus – really, our focus right now is obviously part of the budget moving forward, but our focus and all our efforts are all directed towards this fall. And I know there are a lot of other things going on, as we mentioned, NIL and the transfer legislation. I think you'll see summer camps off the board here through the end of July here pretty soon on a conference level. So I think what we're trying to do is just narrow the scope here to what do we need to do to get back to what we would call normal in the fall, because there's so many moving pieces as far as testing, as far as housing and meals, and I mean, so much to focus on that's going to be where the majority of our time is spent. And what do we need to do to get back, not only in an academic environment, but also an athletic environment?
And I guess you can't have, or can you have sports even if students aren't back in school?
That's a great question, David. I would think students probably would need to be back on campus. So I think that's why the effort there, and you're seeing it really, really, really pick up momentum about the institutions that plan to get back. Now, what that looks like as far as classrooms, I know the president has assigned 9 working groups on campus to deal with that very topic of what does it look like when we come back. Those have to be submitted to the Board of Regents in the middle of May. And so all schools that are under the Board of Regents umbrella are going to be submitting this information so that we can, I think, all hopefully be on the same page about coming back on campus, whether it be Kennesaw State, Georgia State, what have you, University of Georgia, things along those lines.
Well, Greg, I appreciate you. Logan, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. And, again, I think it just says a lot for you and for Josh Brooks, Stephanie Ransom, everyone financially that your athletic or your department and the athletic association has been in such good shape financially that not that you would have been or any of us would have been able to predict anything crazy like this, but it certainly does feel like that it has helped you guys be able to weather this storm way, way better than maybe a lot of other athletic departments.
I think you're right. And, you know, David and Logan, it's a big day today because it's Lauren Smith's birthday.
Oh, what? How do we not know that?
And if you know Lauren's history, he was the business manager at the University of Georgia years ago under the direction of Coach Eaves, who was really the grandfather of financial stability at the University of Georgia. But Lauren played a big part in that, so we need to wish him a happy birthday.
Well, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
love us some Lauren here.
I appreciate you letting us know that. Thank you. But, yeah, the financial stability, like you said, is a huge thing right now.
Greg.
Go ahead, Logan.
No, I was going to say, Greg, before we do let you go, I know it's all been business talk, but to call this downtime for you is probably a gross it's not an accurate statement. You're very busy. But what are a couple of things, maybe the McGarity household, maybe a show or movie, something you've watched recently that you've enjoyed and maybe had a little extra time for here and there that you wouldn't have if spring sports were in full swing?
Well, I think one thing is just being able to kind of sleep in. I mean, sleep in's like 7 or 7:30.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's really been neat is, you know, just like your world, our world, you're always doing something on campus, whether it's a baseball game mm-hmm. or a softball game. And so many times you didn't have dinner at home. But the one thing that Cheryl and I have been able to do now for the last, six weeks,
yeah.
seems like forever, is we've been able to have dinner every night together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of dominates our time. But we're busybodies. I know there are a lot of Zoom conferences, and there's only so much you can do on the phone or on Zoom conferences. But certainly it's been great to be able to kind of be home. And I think the one person, I called Riley a person, that's our dog. He doesn't know what to do because he's got Cheryl and me at the house almost all day, so he's loving this. But no, we're like everyone else. We're just trying to learn as much as we can about the virus. We're trying to be part of the solution and just trying to help our employees and our student athletes. They're in exams right now. Exams started yesterday, mm-hmm. so it's a critical time for them. So, you know, right now it's kind of a time to where students need to focus on their work, and we move forward in trying to get ready to get back to business here this fall.
Well, thanks for the updates. We do appreciate it, and we'll certainly like to check back with you again soon when we start finding out some more stuff. Although I have to ask one more question to kind of piggyback
sure.
on what Logan asked you. Did you watch Tiger King?
Absolutely not.
Well, you're a better person for it, probably.
You didn't miss much, I'll say that.
No, I think I've seen every Andy Griffith
there you go.
Rerun, and you know, I know he's on at 8 and 8:30, and sometimes you scroll through the TV and you see, Cheryl, what's on? And if you don't want to watch Fox or CNN or just the sitcoms on TV, it's usually Andy Griffith or Jeopardy or those old-timey shows, which really are a lot of fun to watch.
Well, Greg, we'll remind you and everybody else, if you're at the house this afternoon 2 to 4, you can hear Larry Munson call the 1987 Tech game. And you'll hear some Lauren Smith mixed in there as well.
Yep, absolutely.
That sounds great.
All right.
Hey, y'all be well and happy to help anytime.
Thanks so much, Greg. Always great talking to you. Thank you.
Okay, guys.
All right.
Be well.
And it's Lauren's birthday. Well, I hate we missed that.
To play something special for Lauren coming back.
That's right.